Well, we just got done with a sermon series on Revelation. And Revelation has a lot of repetition for us. And I was going through those sermons and that series. We kept hearing things over and over again. I am the Alpha and the Omega, right? I mean, we heard it in the beginning, we heard it in the middle, we heard it at the end, and it was all over this letter to us. And we also spoke about God coming and camping with us. Remember? Right? I mean, He set up His tent and He dwelled among us. And He said it over and over again. And we heard about God's hospitality. And how He has from the beginning tried to inject Himself into our reality, our realm, but has encountered resistance. But we also heard, though, that one day, that presence will be manifested fully among us. Okay, all right. Imagine that, God's kingdom coming to earth. Are you ready? All right, good. Well, this was the theme, actually, of our spring feast. What we were experiencing the last couple of days as our regional churches gathered together on earth as it is in heaven. And what a powerful weekend it was, right? I mean, you agreed, Georgine was there, and Stan. When you think about it, and I just don't mean just think about it, but really meditate upon it. The reality of God's will to be done in our midst is a little uncomfortable. I don't hear any amens. What happened? You know why it is uncomfortable? Because it's revolutionary. It goes against the grain of everything that we would like to think of as normal. You know, and when we think about it, I think God would just really surprise us. And He did. You know why? He sent His Son to this world. And that's really surprising. And when the Son talked about God's will, I tell you, people didn't like it. Hello? Right? Easter wasn't too long ago. See, people thought that they had it down already. That they knew this God. And they thought that they knew this God because they had traditions. Right? They had things that had been delivered to them through history. And God Himself had given to them. But no, they didn't know Him. And yes, I know sometimes I myself have to catch myself because I have to be repetitive. I'm compelled. So I don't blame if you think that I am being repetitious. I don't blame you. If it turns you off, I'm really not sorry. I sympathize. I've been there. I am there. I tell myself the same thing. And we are in good company. You see, God told Israel the same thing for ages. He sent them prophets to say, guess what? The same things. Love God, love neighbor. There's really not much more. Practice justice, because you are God's people. He sent them prophets, and guess what? The Israelites were turned off too. They killed the prophets. Please don't kill me. You see, God said, turn from your ways. I want to be with you. As it was in the garden. Wouldn't you like that? And God, we may say, I will love to have that. But you see, there's this other thing. There's this business that I'm focused on. Oh, there's this other person here that I think they're more important right now. Can you just wait? Yeah, even Isabel knows, right? And God says, child, I love you. I love you. He says that over and over and over again. You see, such is the gist, the nature of the gospel message. I guess I have to hear it over and over and over again. The same thing. And maybe someday I'll get it. Maybe someday I will realize what God has been trying to do through the ages. And when I hear the gospel message, though I hear a message of love, but I don't really get it. Because the gospel in Scripture is not necessarily about something that is new. It's about something that is different, and which is mostly unacceptable in our minds. I don't get it. God so loved the world, right? Right?
Amen.
What a lovable world we have. Right? It doesn't make sense. God so loved the world that he sent his son to be killed so that we could have life. It doesn't make sense. You see, where's the sense of justice in that? The just taken for the unjust? What kind of love? What kind of kindness is that? Where grace is the defining aspect of our relationship with God, and not our intelligence, and not our knowledge, or our accomplishments. I've created a great company. I'm a winner. I made a lot of money. You've heard that on TV, right, lately? It's been going on for about a year. I'm successful. I wonder if Donald has some trouble with this defining aspect of our relationship with God. It's not about what we do. Even Jesus says, believe in me. You see, it's not let me prove to you, right? I tell you, that part of surrendering to God's will is something that no human being wants to do voluntarily. As a matter of fact, we have to be compelled to do that. There has to be some force majeure. I'm sorry, I'm using now tongues, but it's Pentecost, right?
Right.
It has to be a power greater than ourselves, so that we can give up ourselves, our prejudices, our own sense of justice, our own intelligent logic even, to be able to see and experience the act of mercy that has to be bestowed, that has been bestowed upon us. And as the fact is that we do not know. We do not know what we're doing. Have you heard? Father, forgive them, because they are very smart. Oh, you didn't hear that in Scripture? That's what Jesus said, didn't he? Right? Oh, forgive them because they have so much knowledge. Maybe I'm confused. Forgive them because they're experts at this thing called life. No, for they not know what they do, Jesus. That's why he said. And what I say is, Father, forgive me, because I truly don't know. Most of the time, I don't know. Now, today in Pentecost, we may have in mind this thing that we have been celebrating, hearing sermons about the Holy Spirit. Right? Yes, it is Pentecost. Yes, it is a celebration. But we still may not get it. We might need more repetition. Philip did. You still don't believe, Philip? Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And if you love me, you see, it went from belief to love. Notice, you will keep my commandments. My Father will send another advocate. And this, he says in verse 17, is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot, hello? Cannot receive. Did you hear that? This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, he said. Okay, Mount Air Christian Church, hello. Are you here?
Yes.
Who are you? Are you that part that he's talking about? The ones that do know him? Or the other? You see, I think Philip is more like us than we want to think. When he says, show us the Father, he is evoking the thought that every human being has ingrained in their imagination. I think that from when we are little, we're saying, if we could only see God. Don't you think? Right? If we could only see God with our eyes, I would believe. When I get to see God, everything is going to be clear. And Jesus' response might not sit well with us. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So why? Why are you not believing? See me? That's it. Nothing more. Why are you not obeying? Oh God, have mercy on us, right? You see, we have this revelation from God. God with us, repeat again, Emmanuel, made his living among us. And through the ages, even 2,000 years later, we're still at it. Really? Really? I tell you, if Jesus Christ walked through those doors today, and he sat up here in the front, we might think, what is this guy doing coming in at this hour? Doesn't he know that the service starts at 10? What's wrong with him? You see, we need to keep repeating these things. And here's another repetition. God came to town. Already. He set up tent among us. Already. He shared his wisdom with us. Already. And the town killed him. Guess what? He wants to come again. And here we are saying, come, Lord. Maranatha, remember last week? Maranatha, come, Lord, come. But if Lord came, would we? Or maybe we're saying, Lord, maybe not now. This world is a mess. And they'll probably kill you again. So are you ready really to receive him? Are you ready to have Lord God among us? Do we believe what he taught? Do we embrace it? Do we dwell in it? He is here. And we hear his lessons. And I understand. It's still hard. You still not get it. You can't get away from repetition. Jesus couldn't himself. He got frustrated more than once with those who were his followers. Time and time again, he got frustrated because they didn't get it either. Peter was one. Been studying Peter, right, in Sunday school? Right? Did he get it? Why is it so difficult for Peter and for us? Well, because it is upside down. The kingdom of God is not in our nature. It is in his nature. Pastor Nadia Bothweber, who was a preacher for us on Friday night and Saturday morning, in one of her chats, she recalled the scene where Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responded, what? You know it, right? My kingdom is not. You see, ever since I was a kid, I don't know in here in the United States, but in Puerto Rico, when we were kids, we played under the pews when the preacher was preaching. We were discovering all the gum that was stuck in the under. It hasn't changed. Church hasn't changed much. For 2,000 years, we're doing the same thing over and over again. Guess what we do on Sundays, right? We have a singing party. We hear God's word. We chow down. And then we leave. Hopefully, when we leave, we're reflecting upon the event, right? Hopefully, when we step out, something lingers in our hearts. And we can make it part of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
We pray, be glorified, Lord. Your will be done on earth. Please give us bread. And please forgive us. Emphasis on forgive us. As we forgive others, right? But forgive us first. And deliver us from evil, because we don't like it. Yours is the kingdom, Lord. So it's your responsibility. Is that what we say? Or are we part of the kingdom? See, what happens after the power of God, the Spirit of God comes down to dwell among us. I mean, I wish I had been there. Remember, people were in that room and all of a sudden, pow! There were like tongues of fire coming out of people's heads. People started speaking in other languages. I could have probably understood 3 or 4 of them. They weren't necessarily understanding what they were saying. Maybe what they were saying was, we're just repeating what has been said over and over again, forever and forever. God is God. I really don't know. That was me, okay? And I'm not a good interpreter. After some time, Stephen, one of the leaders who arises in the community of those who were walking in the way, is caught by the people that were going to stone him. And he speaks a very long sermon. Read it in Acts 7. But it wasn't longer than mine. Acts 7, he recalls that at the end he says, man, please, hear this. You stiff-necked people. I'm circumcised in heart and ears. You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit. Just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that have received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. You know what happened next, right? They became enraged. And they killed him. Now knowing, and I'm going to be done in another minute, please. Knowing this, knowing you and knowing me, knowing humanity as Jesus did, knowing that he was going to be killed, he came. And not only that, but knowing that that was the kind of people he was dealing with, he loved them. But not only that, on top of that, he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I leave you peace and not like the world does. I want to leave this part of me in you. Now, if it had been me, it would have been different words. Something like, the heck with you people. You don't get it. Been here with you 3 years already, and I've told you all that has been told since the beginning, over and over. I mean, I'll stop, okay? But you get what I'm saying, right? Instead, he says, not only do I leave you peace, but the advocate is coming. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. May we be teachable and remember his grace. Amen. God, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that extreme love. I thank you for that overwhelming grace. And I pray that in our hearts we may learn to open the doors to you so that we can be taught. We don't have much time. We want to learn more so that we can practice more, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.